Good morning. Feels good in here, doesn't it? We're just beginning Sunday service, First Gospel Church. I'm thankful to be here. Appreciate the Lord today. Appreciate the good Bible study we had. Good to see all of your smiling faces. Though you may be going through tests and trials, well, you say, let's hold on to God. Let's keep reaching out to touch the Lord. I felt him passing by today in the band selection. We are standing on holy ground. Brought back memory. Just a young man, probably between 26, 27 years old, when I landed here. Warrant out for my arrest. Some of you know my testimony. I was aspiring to become a drug dealer and a junkie. and that didn't work out. And God brought me this way before the highest court in Little Rock. And I heard the verdict. It's either life or death. I said, I'll take a life sentence. I'm here today to lift up the wonderful name of Jesus. May I just give you a few tidbits of my testimony? It just happened today. Of course, the setting is a little bit different, but as the band was playing that song, we're standing on holy ground. It happened to be sometime in the month of August in 1975 over in the old church. And it was a song, it was a chorus. But we're standing on holy ground. You did not come this way by chance, but you were led here by God's hand. And during that song, I didn't know how to reach out to God. I had just come to visit, trying to fill out, search out, see if God was really dealing with me. Is this way you really want me? I was having so much fun in the world. I was trying to get my thoughts together and afraid. I'd seen Pentecostal people, but never got this close to them. I'd seen them shout and dance, but I kept my distance because I didn't want y'all to put that on me, whatever. As a young boy, about 12 years old, my buddies and I used to sit out in front of the Church of God in Christ. And we'd sit there and we'd laugh at them shouting and dancing and praising God. But we said, hey, man, let's don't go over there. They got some stuff they'll sprinkle on you. All right, Dub, we won't go. So we kept on fishing, but we didn't go by that church. We kept our distance. And now here I am among them. But back to the chorus. We are standing on holy ground. Take off your shoes. And that day in the service, I'm suspicious. I'm watching, checking out what's going on. And I noticed a response from the song. People began to go up front. And in those days, Brother Tucker was in pretty good health, and he began to lay hands on people. And I'm checking people out. What are they doing? Wow. Sure wish I knew. And I kept pondering in my heart, what must I do? I'm just standing here. And there was a gentleman standing next to me. Brother Joe Hoffman was his name. And I turned to him and I said, sir, can you tell me what's going on? What are they doing? And the chorus was still going, take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. I'm standing there trembling. I didn't know that I was feeling the Spirit of the Lord. I'm trying to get my directions and get my wife and get out of this place. And he began to talk to me and began to tell me that some are being prayed for healing, some for a greater walk in God. He just kept going. And he paused for a moment, and I'm thinking, come on, I'm enjoying this. But he paused for a few minutes, And when he spoke again, he said, "Some for salvation." And I stood there and just looked at him. While I was looking at him, I don't know if he paid any attention, but inside, I felt like a voice said to me, "That's what you need." And the song was still going, and I walked past him and Brother House and Brother George Weaver and went to the altar that day and gave my heart to God. I said, "I give up. I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of looking over my shoulder, wondering if the police are going to bust me." I'm still on holy ground. I still feel his presence today. Still feel the Spirit of God. Man, I appreciate what God has done for me. I appreciate the life he's given me. And I want to endeavor to walk in this wonderful way. Keep reaching out to God. My prayers are with all of you that came up for whatever you needed this morning. Keep reaching out. Keep touching God. He's waiting on us. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, I know heaven will hear our prayers today. I appreciate this life, don't you? I do. I appreciate this life. I don't know how some people make it without God. I don't know how some people make it without God. I couldn't do it. I need God every day. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate God and his blessings upon my life. And Brother Durham, I thought you did a beautiful talk this morning concerning trust in the Lord. Trust in God. That's what we're endeavoring to do. If you're here today and you need to trust God, hey, step into his office. I passed by a church the other day and said, "Are you lost? Are you in need?" The church bulletin said, "Come inside for further instructions." I came in here one day, said, "I'm lost, man. Can you help me out?" "There's people provided for me. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was lonely and you helped me out. You loved me, took care of me, provided for me. I was without the truth in the gospel, but God heard my prayer one day." I appreciate this road of salvation, this highway of holiness. You know, I had friends that predicted for me, "Dub, you'll never make it." Some of them are dead and gone. Some of them are doing life without down to Tucker Prison, and I'm still here. I'm glad that he laid his hands on me. I'm glad that he touched my life and brought me on that dope highway. I appreciate the wonderful life God has given us. But let's continue on in God today. Hey, listen, we're going to take prayer requests, but my heart goes out to Brother Smith today. For a man that cares about his people and is offered in prayer for us, well, you say, let's get on. Let's get on the wagon and pray more for Brother Smith today. Let's get aboard the prayer wagon, begin to lay up prayers for Brother Smith today. I hate to see him in this condition, suffering like he is. Good to see Sister Smith out today, too. So anyone got requests today, let it be known to the church. Brother Matthew. Okay, let's remember Sister Reva. I believe Sister Jerry. Your grandpa is sick today. Let's remember Brother Jerry. Okay? All right, Brother Mark. All right, let's continue praying for Brother Mark. Sister Elsie, let's remember her. Okay? All right, Sister Linda. Sister. Okay, let's remember Sister Donna and her family and mother. Sister. Okay, your grandma, Sister. Brother Curtis is out of town. Let's pray for Brother Curtis, their family today. Brother Steve. Okay. Friend of your son's, okay. Remember that need today. Let's remember Ray and Susan Weaver. I had a visit with them here a few days ago, and they really need prayer. And I often wonder, what's the highway to back home to God, to his love and care? I never want to be without his love and care and out of his reach today. Let's remember Ray and Susan, friends of mine for many years. Anyone else have a need or request today? Any of you brethren today? Brother Stewart. OK. Okay, Brother Fred Stewart, Sr. Let's remember him today. Sister Stewart also. All right. Been praying for you all through the week, Brother and Sister Crow. You know, it's a little bit different change of you not being here. I pray that God will come into your home. Bless the Crows today. And Sister Crow, I'm still waiting on my relish. But I know you'll get around to it. I got a substitute till I get the real McCoy, okay? I got my chips in the bag. I'm going to make some cheese dip to go with it. Sister Julie. Brother Joe, okay. Okay, all right. Just remember that, Nate. Brother Joe. Okay, all right, brother. We got you. Sister Holly. Unspoken request, okay. I'm sure we all have some unspoken needs that we personally like God to take care of for us. We wake up 2 o'clock in the morning and say, Lord, I need you. He's always there, isn't he? Oh, yes. Our Redeemer is faithful and true. And surely, as the song said, he is worthy. He is worthy. Yes, he is. Let's give him praise today. All right. Well, we're going to receive our offering today also. So if the ushers will get ready, we're going to receive our offering today. Let's stand then and let our needs and our requests that God always hears. He hears the prayers of his children as they cry out to him. He's never forsaken us or left us all alone. But we appreciate his love, his mercy and his care and his attention. We can get a hold of God today. If you want to reach out and touch him today, he's here today. He's never too busy to hear our cry. Never too busy to come to our rescue. Oh, God, wonderful Savior, how we often appreciate the loving hand of God. Please touch Brother Smith today, Lord. Give Brother Smith a healing today, oh, God. Others here in the church today. Brother and Sister Crow, stand before you today, Lord. Served you many years in reaching out. We appreciate the wonderful benefits of God, his loving hand that guides us today. Those that are seeking a greater walk with God today. Families today. Sister Elsie Ratliff today needs a touch from God. We appreciate your love and care at all times. Nothing like the loving hand of God that he reaches down and touches us. We're committed to God today. We're his people today. We're his children today. He said in his word, for the eyes of God roam to and fro throughout the earth, searching for those whose heart is perfect toward him. We believe that he cares for us today. Oh, this highway that we're walking on. Oh, God, sometimes we have difficult days, but I say let's go on. Let's continue trusting God. Let's continue walking with the Lord. Let's continue putting our prayers, getting through the heavens. Oh, God, our desire today is to live with the Lord and to become like him today. Bless each one here in the house today, Lord, that needs a closer walk with you. Wonderful Savior, wonderful Jesus. Bless the offering today, too, Lord. My Jesus knows our needs before we even pray. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Thank you.
Appreciate being here today and Bible study this morning and how that God's dealing with us, working with us.
Thought Brother Daniels was speaking that, you know, Brother Tucker had a peculiar way of getting to people. He'd sneak up on your blind side. When Brother Daniels come into the church, he's probably not aware of this fact, but we knew he was there. And Brother Tucker, he'd slip around and tell some of us, you know, about his age, that this is what you need to do with Brother Daniels. You know, and well, Brother Daniels, they done the same thing with me. Don't be mad about it. It worked. So, you know, it wasn't real difficult to slip up on his blind side because, you know, all of us have got a blind side when we come here. And appreciate that God slipped up on my blind side one day, dealt with my heart, and brought me among his people. When people come here, and I was the same way, and that's the reason I can say it with such authority, I guess, I thought I was just going to another church, you know. When I got here, of course, the people treated me good. But you have to realize that, you know, any church that you go to, if they've got a heart to build that church, they're going to treat you real good, you know. So Ann and I, we'd visited other churches. We'd been, and those people treated us good, too. They really did. You know, but when I got here, you know, of course, I knew some of the people that were here. Brother and Sister Crow, I knew them. But they wasn't here at that time. You missed out on this one, Sister Crow, but not by much. Yeah, you made up for it since then, I can tell you that. Brother and Sister Crow, of course, have been friends of mine for almost as far back as I can remember. Maybe a little further now. But anyway, why, Brother and Sister Foster, of course, were here at that time. And, you know, of course, when I come in, I was amongst home folks because I'd known these folks so long. And anyway, well, it made it a little easier for me, I guess, to begin to feel out and see what was going on. But, you know, it takes a special touch from God for you to see this. It really does. Jesus, let me go back and kind of start at the beginning of this deal a little bit. When God created Adam, he put him in a garden and told him, he said, if you won't sin, you know, you'll be all right, basically. But he said, if you do, the day you sin, you're going to die. Well, you know, some of this I'm kind of ad-libbing, so to kind of bring it up to our time, I guess. But he told Adam, he said, if you sin, you're going to die. Apparently, Adam and Eve must have got together and concocted this imagination. You know, when we partake of this forbidden fruit, we're not going to die. God's not going to kill us over that. You know, we're his creation. We're his creation. He wouldn't kill us over a little sin. And so they failed God. They sinned. Well, the bad thing about that is, you know, they did die. If you read the scriptures, you'll find out that I think, according to the scriptures, I think Adam lived to be 930 years old. And that sounds like that, well, if God really meant what he said, in this day thou shalt surely die, how come he lived so long? You have to realize that God had created Adam, and he really didn't want him to be destroyed. He really didn't want to destroy Adam. But by the same token, his law was, I cannot allow sin to infiltrate heaven. And Adam was really in a heavenly condition. Oh, not third heaven. But he had been placed in a heavenly condition. He had everything that he needed to accomplish what he really needed to accomplish in his life, to live forever. He didn't partake of that. He partook of sin. And God could not allow him to live. And you have to also realize that sometimes when God refers to a day, in fact, as the scripture says, a day with God is as a thousand years. So in that particular day, Adam died. Now here's the bad thing about it. When he died, or when he sinned, let me go back. When he sinned, he sold out the human family. The Bible says that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. When we were born, we were on death's row. Can you imagine that? You know, we look at life as being, well, I'm born, and young people have this idea, and I did too at one time, that I was infallible. You know, I could drive beyond the speed limits. I could do anything I wanted to do, and you know, I didn't have to worry about it. I was young. I was full of vinegar and a lot of stupidity. We'll bypass that one for right now. But I had all those kind of fallacies and thoughts in my mind because I was young. I had a lot of vitality. I could go. It didn't cross my mind that death was right on my trail or that I was sitting on death's row. The only place that, you know, that I considered death's row was these guys that, you know, went in the courthouse, and their sentence was death. Their sentence was death. Those were the guys that I referred to in my mind when somebody said death row. But in reality, all of us were on death's row. Every one of us. When you're born into this world, you're on death's row. God cannot and will not tolerate sin. The oldest doctrine that I can think of that's been taught and it's in this world and it's on the rampage, that you can sin a little bit and still make heaven your home. That is one of the biggest lies there ever was concocted in the mind of a man. You can't sin just a little bit and make heaven. You've got to get to a place where you're not sinning. And then you got to get to a place where that when there's sin all around you, you have overcome it. You're beyond that. You're in a place with God where there can be sin everywhere and you're not affected by it. That's where we're headed for. That's where we're headed for. We got a goal in mind. Well, that's bad. That's bad. Us being on death row, no way out. But Jesus come to this world. Thank God. He said, I am come that you might have life and that more abundantly. There's a way that we can get off death row. Hallelujah. Thank God we can get off death row. Some of you may have this idea that, well, we still got people that are dying. Yeah, but the thing of it is they're dying in Christ. That's it. You can die in Christ. And whether you're alive or dead, if you're in Christ, it makes no difference you're coming back again. And that's what I look at, is that Jesus provided a way for us to get off death's row. If he hadn't come along and touched our lives, he hadn't touched your life, he hadn't touched my life, I'd still be on death's row today. And all these people out here in the world that haven't had a touch from God, they're on death's row today. We've got some keys here that they need in their lives. We've received something that they haven't received yet. Don't you wish you could go out and just
put the key in the lock and unlock it and say, look, here's some of the keys right here. If you just unlock this little lock here, there's a way to get off this road. There's an escape from this. Hallelujah. Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Spirit of my Father draws him. When you come through those doors and you just think that this is another church, I'm sorry I have to disagree with that thought, even though I had it at one time. It's the wrong thought. You know, Jesus has got, well, first, put it this way, God has got to deal with your life first to even get you here. Then when you come through those doors and you begin to see all the things that we're doing here, get all these ideas like Brother Daniels did, look, whatever that stuff is they're putting on him, I don't want any of it. Whatever it is, I don't really want it. Even though it's better than any drug you can find on the street anywhere. It don't come in a bottle that you can find. This beats Old Crow, Southern Living, or whatever it is. Beats all of those, Southern Comfort. You didn't find any comfort in that, did you? I never have found anybody yet that found any comfort in Southern Comfort. Not found anybody. But when you come through those doors, it's God that's brought you here. Or at least we want to think that first off. I mean, we really look at it. You see that person right there, Sister Shade, just come through them doors, and God brought her here for a purpose. I'm not picking on you, Sister Shade. He done all of us that way. But God brought her here, so we're going to treat her as good as we possibly can. We done that with Sister. Oh, well, you pick on my wife. Sister Ann done the same thing. She come through them doors. She thought that she was doing it just because I was her husband and she had to come with me. But it's really God that was touching her. You know, I wished I could have done for her what he done for her. I'd have had her changed a long time before she was. You know. Yeah, I would have. I'd have changed her mind a lot sooner than what it got changed. I tried. Did you know I run into a hornet's nest? And if there's anybody here that's ever had any dealings with hornets, you know what I'm talking about. And if you've never had any dealings with hornets, you don't want one. Them dudes are bad news, you know. But God's Spirit deals with us. Starts leading us, guiding us. And here you'll end up in amongst us. Here again, you know, your first thoughts is, well, I don't want any of that stuff they put on me. I don't want to drink any of that, whatever it is they're drinking. Definitely don't want to eat none of that stuff they're eating. It don't make no sense to me whatsoever. You know, but it's God's Spirit that's dealing with you. Here you are. You know, and you take off. You know, and it's, here's the thing about God when he starts dealing with you. He don't give up. Aren't we glad? Aren't we thrilled that that's the case? My Lord, where would we be at tonight if God would quit dealing with us? Even now, you know, I've been here a long time. But if God quit dealing with me, where would I end up? I can tell you right now, I'll still have it in my mind to be amongst the living. I want to be amongst them people that makes the bride of Christ. I still have that vision in my heart. Maybe I'm talking way over your head, but don't get excited. Don't get nervous. If God can add you to this people, if he can bring you in here, it's what Jesus said, no man comes to me except the Spirit of my Father draws him. God is involved in your life. God is. Then Jesus went ahead to say, no man seeth the Father except by me. Jesus is involved in your life. You'll never see the Father unless you get by and through Jesus Christ. You've got to get through his words. Jesus said, these words are not mine. They're the words of him that sent me. The things that Jesus taught, was directly from his Father. If you were to see God tonight and seen Jesus sitting beside him, you'd have to realize that Jesus done nothing here on this earth but what his Father was involved in it. Jesus come and done the will of his Father. That's what we've got to do. Somebody said, well, I'm just working for Jesus. No, we're working through Jesus. Jesus give us the plan. We got to work the plan. Find out what he done, how he done it, what he done it for. He done it. He said, I come to please my Heavenly Father. And if we'll do what he said to do, we'll please our Heavenly Father. That's what we want to do. Woo, my Lord, I feel good. I feel good. To know that God dealt with my life and brought me amongst you people. Then not only that, I'm hearing the things about God's great plan of salvation. And I am a part of it. I've been privileged to become a part of it. I'll keep applying those things to my life. I'll come out on the other side victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. Woo. My Lord. How can a person just sit and do nothing? And I'm not picking on people just because they don't get them to talk. That's not my point. My point is that once we begin to hear these things and not put them into practice in our hearts and lives, that's what I'm talking about when I say do nothing. That's hard for me to visualize that because it's so exciting. It's so exciting, my Lord. And the more I learn about him, we sing, of course, the more that I know him, isn't it, the better I love him. When you learn, you know, when you come in and you feel the Holy Ghost dealing with your life and you get the Holy Ghost in, first off, you get saved. And being saved is a whole lot better than being not saved. Am I right or wrong? Woo! You feel better. And then you hear about the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. If you don't have the Holy Ghost today, you're setting beneath, you're leveling off beneath your privilege. Jesus died that we might have more life. And the Holy Ghost is more life. It's not death. It's life. You know, I heard that message one time. Did you know that if you was drinking Southern Comfort, Brother Daniels, don't feel like I'm picking on you. Because there's a lot of people who are still drinking that stuff today. And somebody come along and they told you that this other one, whatever the brand name is, I don't really know enough about brand names in that particular field to even talk about it hardly. But if somebody come along, you've been drinking this stuff, you know, for years. And somebody come up and they told you, look, I've got one here that'll really do the job. You need to turn loose of that Southern Comfort and get a hold of this one. You know? Did you know there's people that's drinking Southern Comfort today and there's other people that have told them that they could do better? If they just buy this other brand, that it would do better? And they're still drinking Southern Comfort. Hadn't done anything. That's kind of the way it is in God's kingdom. All those things that's out in the world, you know, they're just a fake imitation. It's an imitation. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's fake. You'll get a high for a little bit, but after a while you'll come down with a headache and a hangover. You know? Did you know I've never drank any of that stuff and got drunk? But I've been around a few of them. Boy, when they was dousing that stuff, whoo, this feels so good. They'd be happy. And the next morning when they got up, I seen them when they got up. Oh, my head's killing me. Oh, my God, I ain't never going to drink that stuff again. But what I'm trying to tell you is that stuff's out here in the world and God allowed it to be out there, but it's an imitation. It's fake. It'll only last you just a little while. But what I'm talking about here today, you can partake of it. And brother, I'm telling you, it'll stay with you. Hallelujah. It'll keep you where you want to be and where you need to be. I don't know if talking about all them drugs is kind of quieting you down. Or if I'm on the sideline here. But what I'm trying to say is this. You're living beneath your privilege. If you're here today and don't have the Holy Ghost in your life, you're living beneath your privilege. God made it available to us. Hallelujah. And if getting saved is better, what I'm trying to do is reading with you just a little bit. If getting saved is better than not being saved, I'm telling you today that getting the Holy Ghost is better than just being saved. That's what I'm telling you. And you know it doesn't have Southern Comfort or all these other different names on it. It doesn't have that on there. This is the life of God. And there's something about that on the inside of your soul that you can go home. Next morning you get up out of bed, you won't have a headache. You might have a hangover. I ain't going to say you won't have that. We've been there a few times, haven't we? Yeah. And the thing about it is, the more of it that you drink, the better you feel. And the next morning when you get up, you don't have this hangover from the standpoint of the headache and all the bad side effects. But you have a good effect on your life. You feel something down on the inside. Stirring you, said, I want to become a better child of God. Woo, hallelujah. Woo. I want to do what Jesus done. I want to serve God. I want to put into practice the things that Jesus taught us. To where that one of these days I'll be able to see the Father. See Him that sent His Son down here to get me off death's row. My Lord, won't that be a fine day? Won't that be a great day? Woo! I'm telling you, folks, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about it. And the thing about God is He brought us all together. And I don't know why He did that. Other than the fact He loved us. He cares for us. And when you come into this house, you're in the house of God. You're in a place where just men are made perfect. Hallelujah. He has provided a plan of salvation that'll take us from death row all the way up to eternal life. That's where I want to go. I want to make it to eternal life. I appreciate God. I appreciate His great plan of salvation. Hallelujah, what I know about it. I think there's some things ahead of us yet that's going to be greater than what we've got tonight or today. It's still daylight outside. But there's going to be greater things come to us even yet. My Lord, isn't it hard to visualize that? That it's going to get better? We may be in a lot tighter straight or in a straighter jacket than what we are today. That's okay. If I can get more of God in my life, and I can get more of that life that I'm feeling on the inside, it's okay with me. Put me in the straitjacket. Wherever you got to put me, Lord, I'll try my best to do it just like you would. I'm going to try that because I want to make it. I want more life in me than what I have tonight or today. Still getting my days and nights mixed up. Either that or I'm over the edge, you know, where you guys kind of losing this. Personality. Aren't we thankful today to be among God's people? Hallelujah. To feel this wonderful covering that I feel. I wish I could run around and just kind of hand it out to each and every one of you. But I feel good today. I'm thankful for what God's doing. I'm thankful for the church. I'm thankful for the vision that I have. What little bit it may be, I'm still thankful for it. I'm thrilled with it. And God's got greater things ahead for us. I'm telling you, folks, you know, if it gets better, I may have to have a new body to enjoy it. In fact, I know I will. This one here is getting old. I know it's not 150 or 930 years old like Adam's was, but it's still, I used to tell people, say, it's not the age that's killing me, it's the miles that's tearing me down. I told my wife here the other day, I said, you know, the older I get, the more I'm convinced that God made me out of scrap metal or scrap material, and now the junk is falling apart. But look, we've got life. We've got life, more life than what we ever dreamed of having out there in the world. Remember this, you can't believe this idea, and the whole world just about believes it, that you've got to sin a little bit every day. But God and Christ working together have provided a means that you and I can overcome sin. We don't have to do that stuff anymore. We don't have to take all those bottled up stuff, those bottled up spirits or whatever it is. We don't have to do that to find life. We don't have to have that stuff. There's life in Jesus Christ. There's life in Him. Hallelujah. If you'll apply yourself, and the thing of it is, we don't, you know, we used to have altar calls. We don't do that much anymore, really. You know, we just I think Brother Painter's the last one I see do it here the other night. Come on, gather on up here and let's get the Holy Ghost. And I appreciated that. I seen God use that. But look, folks, don't ever think in your minds, if you was born and raised in this church, Brother Smith made this statement the other day, but I'll reiterate it again. You are fortunate. You're blessed of God. Don't ever think for a minute that the world is better than what we have in here. But I'm telling you, it doesn't have it. If it did have it, why do you think people like me and Brother Daniels would be here? Think about it a minute. Why would all these folks be here? Why would you be sitting here if the world had better than what we've got in here? They don't have it, do they, Brother Daniel? They don't have it, do they, Brother Tommy? They don't have it. They don't have it out there in the world. It's only in Jesus Christ. Only in God. That's where we have our hope and our desires and our dreams. All the things that you have that you're looking forward to. It's in God. It's in Christ. Whoo! I'm going to have to quit. I'm running out of breath. Running out of breath. So I appreciate being here and being among you people.
Serve the Lord. Isn't it good to live for Him? Doesn't He? Didn't you appreciate that wonderful move of the Spirit we had this morning? I do. I'm thankful for it. Peter in the second chapter of the book of Acts called it, the times are refreshing. I feel refreshed. Feel clean. Feel good. I feel encouraged. Feel strengthened. Feel settled. All those good Bible terms. It's been a good service. Let's really pray for Brother Smith. We need him. When he's not here, it's like having Papa gone. You know, we filled in the best we can, but it's just not the same. So let's pray that God would really strengthen him and help him and get him back in the saddle as quick as he can. And I'm glad to be here today. It's been a wonderful service. We have church again at 5 o'clock tonight. And I appreciate Brother McGowan's words and appreciate Brother Daniels getting up and talking about what God's done for him, getting established. Do we have band practice today? 4 o'clock for band practice. Everybody else, be here at 5 o'clock, or we may just have to call you. You know, one time, and I needed this in my life, I missed a service or so, and Brother Smith would, I didn't have a phone, and I think he came to our house one time, knocked on the door, and he said, "What are you doing?" I was struggling, you know, and I said, well, we're not in church. "I know you're not in church, come on." He took me to church, best thing he ever did. Has he ever had to call you? Brother Wallace? I'm thankful for Brother Smith. Let's really pray for him. He's been a help and encouragement. I put him right up there with Brother Tucker and Brother Liniger and then Brother Weiniger. He's done a good job through the years, too. I appreciate him. Anyway, let's stand and let's thank the Lord for his mercy. Let's ask him to bring us back safe and be here tonight or get a call. That's all I can say. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your mercy. God, we thank you for what you've done for us, God, for your loving kindness and the way you've been meeting our needs, Lord. God, we pray that you would just go home with us, Lord, and watch over us and help us to be a shining light into this world, God, a beacon of hope. Glory to God. Bring us back safe tonight. In Jesus' precious name, hallelujah. Amen. What is his name?
Jared.
That's Brother Jared. I'm sorry we didn't recognize you, Brother Jared. Aren't we glad that you're... It's Sister Curtis's son's birthday. He's 4 years old, and he showed me a little bronze medal that he got from Chuck E. Cheese. Well, let's give him a... Yeah. It's good to be 4 years old. All right. Glory to God. We'll see y'all later.